Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When you're the cleanup hitter, you just hope you don't botch it, right? Don't want to mess it up. So I wasn't in here this morning. I was downstairs with Junior Church. And so as we're talking about following together and fellow disciples, if I say anything contrary to what Pastor said, you know who's right on that one. All right? So, but I think we'll be okay. I think we'll be all right. As we think about missions money, as Pastor was talking about, it reminded me of, I don't remember how many years ago it was, three or four years ago, I put a little money in the stock market. And that day, I remember it specifically because I put $150 into the stock market and I looked at it and I could either buy a bunch of small little penny stocks or I could buy one share of Tesla. And I looked at it and I was like, I don't know, man. I'm not sure which I should do. And so, you know, like a good Mark Rice would do, I went with all the penny stocks is what I went with. And it just so happens that since then, since that $150 for a share of Tesla or Elon Musk, whatever, that now that has divided three times since then, it split. So it was a 1-3 split, and it did it twice, and it's not $150 a share anymore. And I look at that, and I keep kicking myself, thinking, man, I should have just put it in the one stock, right? I'd have like six shares at like 10,000 a share or something. And I'd be like, that'd be awesome, right? And you think about it and you kick yourself and you're like, I should have invested in that, right? We could all say that. There's things that we miss on investment. But I will promise you this, that you will never get a greater return on any money invested in missions. I mean, the fact that we're supporting a missionary in Argentina and they're supporting another church, you can't add it up because it's multiplication. You know, a dollar that I give towards mission here and what God can do and a far greater investment. We should plan for retirement and things of that nature. But at the same time, you know, maybe a verse in the Bible says that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So anyways, it's just a good reminder as we think about that. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 is where we got one verse, just one verse that we'll look at. And as we think about this idea of following together, there's many illustrations of it, I think, all the way, of course, through the New Testament. But even as you think about the Old Testament and as people were nations were led to follow the Lord and things of that nature. I think this passage and this verse is what really stuck out to me when Pastor was talking about us casting a vision of following together. And just the verse number one, where Paul says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And while it does seem simple, and as we think about the context of 1 Corinthians and the church of Corinth, we could definitely say was a mess for sure. And there was a lot of things. Pastor and I were just talking about this the other night, that some of the issues that were going on in the Corinthian church, you look at it and you're like, wow, these guys have got some issues for sure. You know, they got some things going on, But what Paul does do, when you think about the Apostle Paul, I kind of think of a very intense individual, don't you? When you think about Paul and all that God called him to do, a very intense individual, and at times, like even reading some of the passages that God wrote through him, I stop and think, I don't know if we'd get along. This guy might be a little too intense for me, you know. And we think about that with different folks, and we think about that with maybe athletes or things of that nature. I heard that you never wanted to play just mess around basketball with Kobe Bryant. because he didn't like to play mess around basketball. He was serious and intense all the time. And we're like, oh, that's cool about basketball. But I just tell you what, when you look at Paul, Paul was very serious about serving the Lord. Everything that he did, every time that he was beat, every time that he was whipped, every time he was in shipwreck, and everything he went through, he counted it all joy just so in that way, hey, I'm just here to serve the Lord. And as he's trying to help the church of Corinth here, I do not believe that this is an arrogant statement of Paul just saying, hey, y'all follow me. Not at all. As you look at the issues that he's dealing with the Corinthian church is this, that ultimately they're following all sorts of other things. It's kind of like, what do you think? Oh, well, do that. Oh, what do you think? Let's do that. Oh, what do you, what? And it's a mess. And the problem is that ultimately, the problem is that the church of Corinth is not following the Lord. That's the problem. Anytime we get off track, it's going to be truly because we're not following the Lord. You know that in the, I'm thinking when the Bible talks about for his name's sake, wasn't that Psalm 23? For his name's sake. You know that God will never leave you lead you in a direction that'll get you off path? He won't. Why? Well, because his name's at stake. If we name the name of Christ, we say, God, I'm going to follow you. And if we're wholeheartedly following the Lord, he's not going to lead you down the wrong path. Because it's not your reputation at stake. It's not your name at stake. It's his. And so he's going to lead us down the right path for sure. And so I believe as we look here just for a few moments, and this idea of following together, I do see that we have an example here from Paul where he's talking about being a follower and following together ultimately here. And so as we just look at it, first of all, I want us to be reminded this, that Paul wanted to be a good example. He wanted to be a good example. When he says here, be followers of me, I believe it's because he has the desire to be a good example. A good example. And so let's look over in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Flip over there. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. The book of 1 and 2 Timothy is Paul writing to Timothy as a young preacher. But be reminded that even preachers are Christians too. Amen? So some of the things that Paul gave to Timothy, yes, it was an older pastor leading a younger pastor, but at the same time, it was a seasoned Christian helping a younger Christian. And so as we look in 1 Timothy chapter 1, let's begin reading in verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, here it is, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. I believe that Paul, for sure, wanted to live a life that was an example to other believers, even to the lost world, that he wanted to be an example. And so as he talks here about following him, as of course as he's following the Lord, he wanted to live a life that was a good example. When we think about this idea of discipleship, it is one Christian sharing the Christian walk and the Christian life with another person, right? That's what it is. We could think of it even as another passage in the New Testament talks about that the older men were to teach the younger men how to live for the Lord, right? And that wasn't just the men. It was the older ladies were to teach the younger ladies how to serve the Lord as well. And so as we think about that, the desire of discipleship and the desire of us following together is, first of all, that we're making sure we're being a good example. Now, I will say this, that we need to be reminded that it's not whether we're going to be an example or not. I say this many times because I try to get us to think a little bit differently. Because many times it's like, hey, are you going to be a good example? Or are you going to be a good example? And the truth is, it's not whether you're going to be an example or not. It's always whether you're going to be a good example or a bad example, right? And so as Paul is writing here to the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians, he's telling them, hey, I want to live as an example of the believer. And here's the deal, is if we're going to follow together, if we're going to be a group, we each one need to take this idea of being a good example personally. You know, I've not learned much. I only have a four-year-old. But I have learned that that little guy follows me all over the place, which is awesome and scares everything out of me at the same time. That, man, what a joy it is to be a parent. And I don't know. I tell Linda, and I've said it before, but when Linda and I got married, man, life changed. And I didn't have to be by myself anymore. I had a partner in crime, right? And so I was thankful for it. And I don't want to minimize that at all. I'm so thankful for the wife that God gave to me. But I'll just tell you, October 17th, that was a day that changed my life. When now I got a boy that's following me. And I got to be reminded as a parent, man, I got to be going the right direction. Because I got somebody who's following me, and it's not whether I want to be an example or not. Do I want to be a good example or a bad example? And every parent in this room understands that. But it goes far beyond just parenthood. Men, this is countercultural in our day, but men, it is our job to lead. We have been given the responsibility from God to be the leaders of our country, of our community, of our families, and even of ourselves, that we are to lead. And the question is, are we setting a good example? Are we setting a good example? Ladies, the same responsibility follows to you as well. That are you being a good example? And if we're going to follow together, we each individually have to decide, hey, listen, I need to be somebody worth following. I understand, especially in marriage, there comes a fight sometimes, and many times it turns into kind of a power struggle. Well, I'd lead if he'd be worth following, or I'd submit if he had the right leadership, or I could really go somewhere if she'd hush up and follow. And we can get into this. But you know, truthfully, if we'll each decide to just, as my dad would say, just learn our own verse. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband. And as a marriage, let's just learn our own verse and desire to be a good example. Individually, right? And individually, if we'll do that, if we'll decide, I want to be a good example. Now, we could look at other passages. And we're right here. Let's look at it. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse 12. We've talked about marriage. We've talked about parenting. We've talked about Christians. And ultimately, let us be reminded of this verse. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer. Believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And again, reminded that even in this context, that Paul is reminding a young preacher, hey, listen, be an example. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter that you are a young pastor. Hey, be an example. And the truth is, it's a good reminder for all of us to be a good example. And then let's look back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, just reminding us that if we're going to follow together, we need to be a good example. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse 26 and 27, Paul says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And Paul is reminded that, hey, I want to be a person that's worth following. And there is a caveat to this. There is a disclaimer. But let's be reminded that if we're going to follow together, we each individually need to be people who are worth following. Being an example, right? Number two, we look at this, is that Paul only wanted people to follow him as long as he followed who? Christ, that's right. He only wanted people to follow him. It wasn't this saying, hey, you want to be a Paulite? A Paulite? I mean, that's terrible. You get it? Right? I've heard of different people I don't want to get myself here in trouble or not, but whatever. Okay. I'll be honest. When I was in Bible college, one of the things that was apt to happen was to forget to be a follower of Christ and to necessarily just kind of follow somebody who's got a great ministry, but just kind of follow their pattern and kind of be a mini them. It happens, okay? God forbid, but it does happen. And so there was a guy, we'll just say his name is Ben. That's not his name, but there was a guy that was kind of well known for having an opinion about everything. And when I say everything, I've shared this with Brother Jeremy personally at some different times. This guy, he had an opinion about everything. And so the guys who like to follow him a lot, again, his name was not Ben, it was something else, but we called him the Benites, all right? But we literally used his name and be like, you're a follower of that guy. Right, and there's been times even in what would be considered independent fundamental Baptist circles that it's about following a guy. And here's the deal: Paul had zero desire to have a cult-like following of himself. When Paul was telling the church at Corinth to follow me, he was very clear to make sure that he was saying, "Hey, even as I am of Christ." Well, how do you know that? Well, let's look at Galatians. Let's flip over to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. This is how we know for sure that Paul had zero desire to have a group of people that just followed him. Because in Galatians 1, verse number 6, the Bible says, "And I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be what? Accursed. And we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." Listen, Paul even himself would say, hey, if I begin to preach anything, if I try to get you to follow anything that is against Christ, here's what you need to call me, accursed. No, I'm not following that. Why? Well, because they're not following Christ. So I want to be clear that, yes, that Paul was saying, hey, I want to be an example of the believer. I want to be somebody worth following. But he says this, you only follow me so long as I am following Christ. And listen, as we're going to be the Christians that we need to be, if we're going to be following together as a church and as a group of individuals, listen, what we're going to have to do is that each one of us individually are going to need to be an example of what? Following Christ. That we're following Christ. Hey, we want our pastor, and rightfully so. We want him to be following Christ, don't we? Amen. And he does. We're thankful for that. Right? Hey, we're so thankful that our pastor is following Christ. But listen, if we're going to be the church that God wants us to be, we each individually need to be following Christ as well. And we follow our pastor, and it's biblical that as God has placed him in that leadership role that we follow, but we follow him so long as he follows Christ. And I would dare say that pastor himself would be the first to say, hey, if he starts preaching anything other than Christ, hey, y'all kick me out of here. And like myself as well, hey, listen, we got to be following Christ. And if we're going to follow together, we have to each individually be following Christ. You remember the New Testament where it talked about that daily they searched the Scriptures? After the preaching, they would go home and they daily search the scriptures whether these things were so. You know what they were doing? They were just making sure that who was preaching was following Christ. And that should be our goal. Hey, we want to, yes, God sets up leaders and leadership and does have a biblical role of authority. And that is very biblical. But man, we need to make sure that, hey, who we're following? First of all, we need to make sure, are they following Christ? Man, that's a big thing in our day and age, especially with internet and things of that nature. And we start following these people who have really good reels. All right, for Brother Rob's class, that's short video. I'm just kidding. I'm totally just kidding. All right, man. All right. Miss Tina was telling me, we're just trying to get in trouble today, aren't we, Miss Tina? Just trying to get in trouble all over. No, I do mean that respectfully, though. Anyways. Yes. Hey, I said, with all due respect, that means you say whatever you want. No. But here it is that truly in our day and age, while we do have a connected society, listen, there's a lot of people who want you to follow them. You know, there's a reason why Facebook, Twitter, whatever other ones, you know, you understand they use that word follower on purpose? That's not an accident. You know, influencers. Great. Well, what's the key? How many followers do you have? Man, we're being influenced all around us. The question is, who are you following? And we can be real quick to say, well, man, this person had a real good snippet and what they said in that moment, man, that was real good. Now I'm going to buy all in. Whoa, hold on. Are they following Christ? Because if we're going to follow together, we've got to make sure that who we're following is following Christ. And we have that responsibility to follow those who are following Christ. But again, being an example of the believer, we need to make sure that we're following Christ to be an example to others as well. All right? Now, everybody's favorite point, lastly today, is this, that Paul wanted all the followers of Christ to glorify God in all that they did. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's interesting that this small verse is sandwiched between two different ideas. If you go back to chapter number 10, what he's just come through is being an example to weaker believers. If you remember the meat offered to idols, and so it talked about, you know, if a brother is bothered by the fact that this meat was offered to idols, hey, be an example, all right? And so he's using that, but he's talking about this, of your interaction with lost and saved folks and weaker brethren, and he's talking about that. And then he also, after this, he talks about order in the church, talks about order in services and things of that nature here in chapter number 11, even to the point that at the end of chapter 11 is where we learn a lot about communion and taking the Lord's Supper. We learn that as well. And so, you know, just our daily life of living amongst believers and even fellow Christians and some who are younger in the faith or things of that nature, and then in our church life. But what he does also at verse 31 is he says this, very particularly. You know the verse. We've heard it a million times, but it's very good. Verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Paul wanted all the followers of Christ to glorify God in all that they did. In all that they did. You know what brings glory to God? Unity. As we'll each be an example of a believer, and as we'll each individually follow Christ, what we will end up doing is glorifying God. People following God wholeheartedly, that is nothing other than just glorifying God for all that He has done and all that He will do. And our goal. So when we think about this simple verse, be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. When we think about following together, we've got to make sure that, again, that we're each individually following the Lord. But then collectively, when we're following God, we'll be a unit that is, the word that comes to my mind is unstoppable. If we'll just each individually decide to be a disciple of Christ, there's strength in numbers. There's strength in numbers. I understand, God can use a single individual, and He does. But I'm just telling you that if we'll each individually live for the Lord, when we come together, we'll be able to do a work that's incredible. When we're following the Lord, when we're following together, what'll happen is, as things come into our lives and as maybe you experience a time of discouragement, maybe a time of feeling down or blue, things of that nature. Listen, that's one of the gifts of a church, is the fact that we're in this together. Together. So we got to be reminded that we got to make sure who we're following. As a church, it is our responsibility to follow our pastor, so long as he follows Christ. As he follows Christ, we join in and follow him as he follows Christ. And as we find folks out in the community who are lost, and maybe who are saved but who backslid, got away from the Lord, we bring them in and we join together. And to see what God can accomplish if we'll all just follow together. It'll be a work that only God could do. Only if there was like a book in the Bible talked about a group of people who all tried to work together. Oh, there was. The book of Nehemiah. But the people had a mind to work. You know what the people had a mind to do? To follow. They followed together. God accomplished a great work. But it's not just the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians. It's not just Nehemiah. It'd be great if what's said about Central Baptist Church in Gillette, Wyoming, and it's a group of people who are following the Lord together. We've got to make sure that we're making sure that we're a disciple of Christ in and of our own selves. Hey, I'm going to be a disciple. It's good to be reminded that a chain is only as strong as its weakness. And this shouldn't be that we start looking around, man, who's the weak link? All right, we know it's me. All right, I'm a goober. But it should be that our desire should be, God, I want to be a follower of you. So that way, our church can accomplish all that you want it to. Because I'm doing my part. And if we'll each individually be concerned about following Christ, then collectively, we could do a work that everybody looks at and just says, wow, only God could do that. And that's what we want. And we want folks to come. We had some guests this morning, and we're so thankful for every guest who comes to our church. Aren't you? Aren't you thankful for them? Man, I am thankful for it. But if folks will walk in here, what they'll be helped by is saying, man, that's a group of people who are following Christ. Are we perfect? Oh, no. No, no, no. But our desire is to each individually follow Christ, be an example, bring others, and to just glorify the Lord. Listen, we'll be following together. And what can be accomplished with one can be multiplied. We all just join in. Follow Christ. Follow Christ. And follow together. And what that looks like sometimes is, yeah, go to your neighbor. Not literally. But grab him by the hand and say, hey, come follow me as I'll follow Christ. Then we'll be multiplying. Be multiplying. And great work can be accomplished. Lord, we thank you so much for all of your many blessings to us. And God, I pray that you'd help me. God, help me to follow you. God, help me to be an example of the believer. Help me to share the good news with everyone. God, and I pray that you would be able to accomplish a great work through me. But God, collectively as a church, we pray that as we each individually follow you, God, then we'll be following together. And what can be accomplished is a great work. So we thank you for all that you've given to us. We thank you for the gift of this church. We thank you for the gift of our pastor. We pray that we would follow you. In Jesus' name.